Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
It is an honor to be with you all. I am Pastor Micah Cray. I am the pastor of St. Martin's Lutheran Church in Annapolis. I have been here once before to preach, and it was an absolute honor as I was the assistant to the Bishop of Generosity for the Synod at that time. But I am just so grateful to be here with you all this evening. Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Epiphany is one of those days in the church year that can feel deceptively familiar. Many of us hear this story every year, especially here at Epiphany. We know the characters, we know the arc, we know the key verses to latch on to, we know the nostalgic story. The Magi arrive from the east, the star shines, gifts are offered, everyone eventually goes home. It's so familiar, in fact, that it becomes easy to miss how tense this story actually is. Over time, through tradition and art, the Magi have become decorative. They are safely placed in nativity scenes, carefully arranged in rich colors, frozen mid-journey, forever approaching but never quite arriving. They are distant enough that they pose no threat, wise, curious, exotic, but harmless. But that is far from the story that we hear tonight. Matthew does not tell a harmless story. Matthew begins by anchoring the birth of Jesus in a specific time and under a specific ruler. In the time of King Herod, he says. That detail is not background information. It is the tension of the story. Herod is not just king, he is a king who rules by fear, violence, and suspicion. He is known for eliminating anyone he perceives as a threat, even members of his own family. His power depends on control, and control depends on fear. Into that world, come the Magi from the east. Matthew gives us almost no details about these men. And that lack of detail is intentional. There are no names, there's no number, no tidy backstory. What we do know is they are outsiders. They come from beyond Israel's borders. They likely practice astrology, reading signs in the heavens, an occupation that would have raised eyebrows, if not outright condemnation, among the religious establishment of the time. They are not on the inside. They do not belong. Outside of maybe wealth, there's not much that should allow their presence to be significant in this story. And yet, they arrive in Jerusalem asking a question that shakes the city to its core, one that cannot be ignored. Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? That question alone is enough. Matthew tells us that Herod is frightened. And not just Herod, all of Jerusalem with him. Fear spreads immediately just from this one simple question. The possibility of another king destabilizes everything. Before Jesus speaks, before he heals, before he gathers his disciples, before he does a single thing, his existence is already a threat. And Herod responds the way threatened power always does. He gathers information. He consults his religious authorities. He asks where the Messiah is to be born. And they answer without hesitation. Bethlehem. These religious leaders know the scriptures. They can quote the prophets. They can locate the promise precisely, immediately. And then they stay put. This is one of the quiet ironies of this story. Those with the scripture and knowledge do not move. Those with the signs and the curiosity do. The Magi, guided by a star and a promise they barely understand, set out again and again. Knowledge remains in Jerusalem. Worship happens in Bethlehem. That alone should unsettle us. Because we probably see ourselves as the Magi in this story, right? The ones who get it, the ones who follow the signs, the ones who seek the real king. But I know my own tendencies, and hopefully you do too. I am comfortable, actually more than comfortable, I am adamant about sticking to my scriptures, my style of worship, my understandings, comfortable in the knowledge of our theology, our Lutheran theology, that Christ always comes to us. But Matthew is not interested in rewarding religious credentials. He is not interested in how long we've been a member of a church or how many Bible studies we've attended or written. He is interested in response. Who is willing to move when God reveals something new? Who is willing to risk being changed by what they see? And it is a risk. Because movement in this story comes at a cost. The Magi's faith does not happen in private. Their search instead draws attention. Their question alerts Herod. Their journey exposes a threat to the throne, and Matthew refuses to separate revelation from its consequence. Now, this is when we often want to step in and soften this story. We want to reassure ourselves that faith leads to peace, that revelation makes things better, that God's light resolves tension rather than intensifying it. But Matthew again tells us the truth. Epiphany exposes what is already there. As many of us know, the Epiphany story does not end gently. It does not end with the verse we finished with tonight. Herod will then go on to enact violence when he does not get his way and he does not find his promised king. Mary, Joseph, and their baby will have to flee Bethlehem as refugees to Egypt in order to find safety. Epiphany in this story and the epiphanies of our lives don't lead to quick and happy endings. They expose, shed light, reveal the truth of what's already there. Herod does not become violent because the Magi arrive. He is already violent. What changes is that the truth is spoken aloud. The presence of the true king reveals how fragile a false king is and how brutal they must be to survive. All because the Magi follow a star to Bethlehem. All because they ask a question. They followed their faith, and there were consequences for it. But never for a second are we meant to think that it is in vain. By following their faith, they are led to the true epiphany. They see the child. They kneel. They worship. They offer their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, each carrying layers of meaning that we often interpret with hindsight, kingship, divinity, and death. but all pointing to that true revelation. Emmanuel, God who is with us. And then comes the moment we tend to also read too gently. Warned in a dream, they return to their country by another road. We often hear this as spiritual metaphor. Encountering Christ changes your direction. Worship reshapes your life. Faith sends you home differently than you came. And that is true. But it's incomplete for this story. It privatizes our spirituality rather than having us see the larger consequence of being changed by God. Because this is not just an internal transformation, it is a decision with real-world consequences. The Magi do not return to Herod. They are withholding information from a king. They refuse cooperation with a political power. They choose allegiance to the child they have worshipped over obedience to the king who summoned them. This is not passive avoidance. This is faithful resistance. They cannot control what Herod will do next. They cannot stop the violence that follows, but they can refuse to participate in deception. They can choose which king they will serve. And Matthew makes clear that this choice matters. This is the tension that Epiphany refuses to resolve. Seeing Jesus clearly does not make the world safer. In fact, it just might make it more dangerous. The light of Christ exposes systems that depend on silence, compliance, and fear, and exposed systems rarely respond gently. Over time, we have learned to treat consequence itself as a failure, especially these days. If something leads to conflict, we assume it must have been the wrong choice. If speaking truth creates tension, we wonder whether silence would have been wiser. Even the church, maybe especially the church, is not immune to this logic. We baptize caution as discernment. We confuse peace with the absence of discomfort. We mistake safety for faithfulness. But Matthew will not let that logic guide the story of the Magi. He does not ask whether they would have followed the star if they have known where it would lead. He does not pause to evaluate whether their journey was worth the cost. Those questions never appear. For Matthew, they are besides the point. The question is not, what will this cost? The question is, what is God revealing and how will we respond? Because Epiphany does not ask us to predict or control the outcome. It asks us to follow the path of Christ, the path of discipleship. The Magi are not asked to overthrow Herod. They are not asked to stop the violence that follows. They are not asked to fix the world. They are asked something smaller, but just as hard, if not harder. They are asked not to go back, not to return to the place where power demanded their cooperation, not to hand over what they now know for the sake of keeping the peace, not to pretend they hadn't seen what they had seen. They go home by another road because once you have knelt before the true king, some roads are no longer available to you. And that is where Epiphany needs to become personal for us. Because most of us will never stand before a literal king. But we will stand before those who seek control, power, and pledges of allegiance. We will stand at crossroads. Moments when silence would be easier than truth. Moments when going along would cost less than refusing. Moments when keeping things calm would feel more responsible than being faithful. But in those moments, we are not left to guess where the road leads. Just because it's been Christmas and we've talked about the baby Jesus, the coming Messiah, does not mean we need to pretend we don't know where this is going. We know the ending of this story. It does not move towards safety. It moves towards the cross. The child the Magi kneel before grows into the one who will refuse the Herods again and again. He will refuse to trade truth for safety, refuse to bend to violence, refuse to save himself at the cost of the world. This is the Jesus story, not a story of avoiding suffering, but of God choosing to enter it. The story of Emmanuel, God with us. Not crowned in places of power, not secured on the thrones of this world, but revealed among the vulnerable, the hurting, the forgotten, and the faithful. And that is the path that we are invited into. Not because it is safe, not because it is easy, but because it is where Christ already is. Epiphany does not ask us to control the outcome. It asks us to follow the light we have been given, to choose faithfulness over fear, truth over comfort, and when necessary, another road. May it be so. Amen.
Amen. Amen.